Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined at this hour by one of our regulars, the man who takes us for a guided tour inside the ring each week here at Secure Freedom Radio. He is Bill Gertz, the prize-winning columnist with Inside the Ring at the Washington Times and also senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon. His reporting on all of the issues of our time with respect to national security is really incredibly impressive, and it gives us lots of grist for this mill. Bill, thanks so much for joining. It's great to be with you.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on the program.
Thanks. Listen, I want to talk first and foremost about a story you had in your Inside the Ring column this week about Chinese supercomputers and the fact that they seem now to be poised, if they haven't already accomplished it, to actually surpass the capability of the United States in a field in which we have long been dominant. First of all, give us a quick read on both the state of play at the moment, as you understand it, Bill, and what its implications might be if so.
Yeah, this is a really important story. And basically, it is based on the idea that I was approached about 2 months ago or several months ago by a guy who's working on something called the Supercomputing Initiative. And it was an effort, government effort. And the result of that study was a conference in September. And it produced a report by the National Security Agency and the Department of Energy, which are focused on this issue of supercomputers. And it was fairly dire in its understanding that the Chinese have made important gains, especially in producing supercomputers, and that this has very negative effects for U.S. national security, since it suggested that with the Chinese lead in supercomputing, that the U.S. would be forced to rely on Chinese designs, Chinese technology, and Chinese models for this ultra-high-speed computing capability, which is used primarily from a defense standpoint for designing weapons, things like hypersonic weapons, even less advanced or less advanced weapons such as tanks and aircraft. We need supercomputing capability, and if we lose that to the Chinese, this report was issuing a dire warning that we better take steps now to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, and Bill, this NSA and DOE, National Security Agency, and Department of Energy study really suggests that where we're likely to find ourselves seriously disadvantaged is with respect to the nuclear weapons complex, isn't it? The we were discussing earlier in the week with Mark Schneider, our mutual friend, the fact that we've allowed that sort of industrial infrastructure that supports our most critical military systems to essentially atrophy. And this would be one example of that, I would guess. Bill, but talk about it. You've focused on this so clearly for so long. The combined effect of our neglect, malign neglect, and the investment that Chinese have been making, among other things, in buying up Silicon Valley's high technology companies, seems to have real national security implications at this point.
Yeah, and especially on the nuclear front. The problem is that anti-nuclear activists in government and Congress have prevented the United States from developing new and more modern and more effective and safer nuclear weapons. And that's one of the reasons that there hasn't been a push for supercomputing capability, because we've been banned from testing. It's a self-imposed moratorium, although there's a treaty out there that was that's unratified, as you know.
Actually rejected by the United States Senate, to put a fine point on it.
Yes. And so we really need supercomputing capability to modernize our nuclear weapons. I'm hoping that the Trump administration will reject the past policies which said we can't build new nuclear weapons and try to refurbish these old weapons that are reaching, you know, the limits of their extension. I mean, they're 30 and 40 years old, and at the same time,
long past their design date.
Yeah, and the Chinese and Russians are going ahead with new weapons, new designs, new capabilities, new technology. So this is really undermining our strategic nuclear deterrence capability.
Yeah, some of which we may not even fully understand without the benefit of the best supercomputers in the world. Bill, let me turn to one other subject you talked about recently, and that is the politicization of security clearances in the United States government. It seems as though this has been happening now for a while, both giving people clearances who shouldn't have them and taking away clearances from people who should or denying them to them. Talk about the peculiar case of a fellow by the name of Adam Lovinger in the National Security Council at the moment.
Yeah, well, I wrote a piece for the Free Beacon that appeared Monday, and the thrust of the story was that the security clearance process has become politicized, especially at the White House. And what's happening is that the intelligence community, because they disagree or dislike those who have been selected by President Trump to take senior positions in the national security bureaucracy, they're using the clearance process to block these people from doing their jobs. And it's a severe problem. The same day that I reported that, on May 1st, Adam Lovinger, who is a 12-year veteran of the Office of Net Assessment at the Pentagon, was notified that his security clearance had been pulled. He had been detailed since January to the National Security Council staff, where he is working to set up a net assessment capability within the White House. What it appears to me is this is a political backlash by anti-Trump elements within the U.S. government, especially the intelligence community, who are going after Trump appointees, especially those related to retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who was forced out after the disclosure, the leak of highly sensitive intercepts disclosed his conversations with the Russian ambassador.
Yeah. It's a very troubling practice, and I've been worried, as you have, I know, Bill, for a long time, that the people who, as I said, should not be passing even the barest of national security clearances, let alone getting access to extremely sensitive, compartmentalized information in some cases. But this is another manifestation, I guess, of the politicization.
I would point out too, that the opposite occurred during the Obama administration, when we learned from the Podesta emails that Ben Rhodes, someone with no national security experience and who was recognized as pretty much of a political hack, was denied an interim top secret clearance by the FBI. And yet, through pressure from the Obama White House, he was eventually granted access to secrets and went on to become the Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategic Communications, a post from which he was able to organize, and I outline this in my book, IWAR, the false publication of information about the Iran nuclear deal in order to get congressional support for that.
Bill, you've talked about how a terrific organization, the Middle East Media Research Institute, better known as MEMRI, has published a study on the importance of something, it sounds like it was plucked really right out of your book, of countering jihadism online. Tell us a little bit about that importance and why we are not doing enough in that department.
Yeah, this was a report that was made public this week by MEMRI, and basically they made the point that, look, we have got to do more, take aggressive steps to counter online jihadism. And it pointed out that there's a trend now that families of people who were killed by terrorists who are using the internet to recruit and to fundraise are now beginning to sue some of the social media companies. And we're also seeing that social media companies are under increasing pressure to do more to prevent terrorists from using social media, again, for recruitment, actually for command and control in some cases. And much more needs to be done in this field. The U.S. government has been extremely neglect, and I point this out in IWAR, that the U.S. government needs to do much more It's not simply a matter of having the State Department enter into tweet wars with terrorists. They've got to take serious ideological offensives against these terrorist groups.
And it unfortunately seems to be the case that the principal targets of the efforts of Google and Facebook and the like is shutting down American patriots who are opposing the jihadists, not so much the jihadists. Bill, this is a subject we'll return to with you, I hope, again next week. Thank you so much for your time today and for the terrific work you do at both the Washington Times and the Washington Free Beacon. Keep up the good work, my friend, as always.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.